Good morning. Almost afternoon now, right? But my name is Matthew. I know most of you probably know me. If you don't, my name is Matthew. I've been coming here to Haven of Rest for about 5 years now. Thanks be to God. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be up here this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered with you. Thanks be to God. The snow held off. We were praying for it to hold off, and it did. So God is good. He wanted us to get this message before we deal with that. But today we're going to be we're going to be talking about the focus of freedom, the true liberty that comes from Christ only. We love our freedom, everybody. A lot of people, though, think they're free, and they're not. In order for us to get a real picture of what true freedom is, the first thing we need to look at is ultimately why we need to be set free in the first place. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to go to John chapter 8. And that's where we're going to be looking today. And we have a story of a woman, a Jewish woman who's caught in adultery. And I believe as we look in this story, it's a great picture of us, both before we understand the freedom that comes from Christ and after. So let's go there, and I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. John chapter 8. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come before you, Lord. I just thank you for this honor and privilege, Lord, to just get to come up here to your people and speak, Lord. I just pray that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, this day to bring a word that you want to bring, Lord. I pray for all the hearts in here, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord. I pray if there's anyone in here that does not know you, Lord, that your word would penetrate through any hardness of heart, Lord, that we all have dealt with, Lord God. I pray that you will break down anything that's keeping us from surrendering everything to you, Lord God. Lord, we weren't free, Lord. We were never free, Lord, without you. We were enslaved to our sin, Lord. I just want to first off just thank you that you set us free for those who've trusted in you, and for anyone that hasn't, Lord, I pray that you set them free in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see if I got this. All right. Well, this is small, but like I said, we're gonna start out here. This story comes in the Gospel of John at a point right after Jesus had spoken at the festival, He'd been stirring things up, and the Pharisees, you're going to see the Pharisees and the scribes, they already got it out for him. He spoke the truth, and he reveals to us things sometimes we don't want to see. We'll start out verses 1 to 4. The first question, like I said before, why do we need to be set free? Number one, we are captive to our sinful desires. In this story, we'll start reading. John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. We're going to stop there. We all, at one point or another, have been captive to our sin, have been slaves, servants of sin. Everyone. Every single one of us. I'm going to be jumping around a little bit in John 8 today. Jesus goes into this and gets right to the heart of it. John 8:34 says this. He says, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That word servant, I know this is small up here, but that word servant is the Greek word doulos. Just the definition of that word is this. Your Strong's and all the words connected to it, it's not something that they signed up for. This is being a bond servant. This is servitude. This is someone or something having mastery over you. It defines it as a person owned as a possession for various lengths of time. Jesus says, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, is the slave of sin. We in our sins, in past time, were slaves of our sin. Anyone without Christ is a slave of their sin. You can't escape it. You don't have power over it. I found a great example, a quote of this, is by Dr. W.H. Griffith Thomas wrote this, how people are unconscious of their bondage. In this world, people without the Lord, they walk around, they even if they have money or they have power, they have wealth, or even just in their own lives, we think we're free. We're free to do as we please. We're free. Even some people refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come to his feet because they say, I don't want to live under rules. I don't want to live under, you know, somebody else tell me to do how I'm supposed to live my life. But truly, they're not free. Truly, no one is free in living in sin. This example says that he says that one reason many have never realized their bondage to sin may seem very paradoxical, but it is nevertheless very true. It is because they have never tried to get free. There's a yard where a dog is heavily chained. The dog, however, is fast asleep, and so he does not realize his bondage. Later on, we may even notice the dog eating his food, still chained, but as the food is close to the kennel, his chain is not irksome, and he is still thus unconscious of his bondage. But soon comes the owner of the dog, who, forgetting the chain, calls the dog. The animal springs up, eager to reach his master. What happens then? All his efforts are in vain, and now, for the first time, he feels the irksomeness and restraint of his fetters. It is exactly similar with sin. Try to get free, and you feel your bondage. All of us know this. Before we came to Christ, we could try to clean up our life. We could try to do things to overcome the struggles that we had, but nothing could help us to escape it. We are sinners by nature. From the fall of Adam and Eve, all of us have inherited original sin. And even in Genesis, it said, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." We were all dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This woman who the Pharisees and scribe brought to Jesus, and I don't know if you guys know much of the passage, but this wasn't something that they were righteously zealous coming and saying, we need to put away this evil from our people. They were trying to catch Jesus. They were trying to catch him in a trap because this was a lose-lose situation for him. If he said, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, but if he held this woman accountable, they would say, oh, you're too harsh. But if he didn't, they would say, oh, you don't follow the law. But this woman, nonetheless, was at the will of her sin. She was in bondage to her sin of adultery before they had taken her. James says in chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This woman's bondage and the death that follows it was even before she had physically been taken, had her freedom taken away from her. As with all of us, anyone outside of Christ knows this. And us inside of Christ knows that that's what was held above us before, the wrath of God. I know in my own personal life, when I was walking in this world under the bondage of sin, that conviction and that heaviness just, and that's that lack of freedom, lack of power against my sin was something that we live with every single day. I'm going to transition here to the next part. Why do we need to be set free? We need to be set free from the condemnation of the law. Verses 5-8 says this. Again, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Let's pause right there. The law is clear. Adultery is sin. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 24 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. These men quoted the law, and they were correct in that the law brought with it a punishment. If you'd like, go to look at Leviticus 20:10 or Deuteronomy 22:22, but I have them right here. It says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they both of them shall die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. And Leviticus 20:10 says pretty much the same thing. Notice though, it says both of them. So the one question everybody always asks is, where's the man? These men were trying to catch her. But that does not take away the punishment of sin, the condemnation of sin. Her sin was worthy of death. But Jesus knows the hearts of all men. And he knows the hearts of all of our sin. The punishment of all of our sin is worthy of death. Each one of us. We'll read on. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at you. A stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As you know, in another place, In his ministries in Matthew 5, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart." The law is not there to set us free. The law is there to show us our sin. These men puffed up with pride, thinking that they're better than this woman caught in her sin, brought her to Jesus, thinking that, you know, ultimately trying to catch him, but surely there was some pride there. And yet Jesus levels the playing field. The law is the great equalizer to all of us. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." As we said before, we are all the servants of our sin before we know Christ. We're all enslaved to our sin, and along with that comes death. It comes the punishment of that law, and no one can escape it. No one can escape it outside of one way. Romans 2:1-3 says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" We all need freedom from the bondage of sin. We all need freedom from the condemnation of sin. That one day when we face the judgment of God, when we stand before God, we're going to have to account for our own sins, for our own transgressions. You look in the law, no one is justified by the law. I found a quote by the reformer John Calvin that was speaking on this verse, Galatians 3:11-12. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." If we're going to be justified the law, we must do all of the law. We must not break one. And there's no one that lived up to that standard as far as from us men. There's no one. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." There's none righteous, no, not one. "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every mouth is stopped before him. And so were the mouths of these men. Every one of these men that brought this woman to see what Jesus would do with her, to her, they walked away. And us the same in our life. You know, if we've come to know Christ, we understand that it's only by the grace of God that we've come to know Christ. It's only by the grace of God that we've been saved, and we've been, our sin and our punishment has been taken away. And this will lead me in to the next thing. Jesus can set us free from this condemnation. Jesus can set us free from this burden. Jesus can set us free from this bondage. I'm going to just read that quote. "We have seen that men must be worse than insane, whatever they say, if they do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For if they cling to the law, it will only bring damnation. For although we already stand condemned, even before God has opened his mouth in judgment against us, our evil is exposed by the law. Because it is written that if we transgress in just one area, we are God's enemies and have provoked his wrath against us. What can be gained by protesting when the sentence is given from the heavenly throne? There is no room for appeal. Thus, to have a proper understanding of the gospel, we must recognize that we need to lean entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and his mercy alone is our help of salvation. We all need to examine our own lives, for if we do so honestly and without hypocrisy, our spiritual standing on our own will be abundantly clear. But God, rich in mercy, sent his Son to set us free. Verse 9, the end of it. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. How many of you have had this moment where it's just you and Jesus? It's just you and Jesus. Jesus said, whichever one without sin cast the first stone. And now we're standing before the one without sin. He has every right to cast the stone. He has every right to lock us up and throw away the key, that we face eternal punishment, hellfire. He has every right. And yet, what does he say? And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now it doesn't say whether or not she believed on the Lord Jesus, but it's a picture of us when we do believe on the Lord Jesus. If we turn from our sinful lifestyle, we repent, and we trust on the Lord Jesus, we can be saved and set free. God is so good. God is so good to us. God doesn't leave us in our chains. He doesn't leave us in our bondage. He doesn't leave us under the condemnation and the wrath of God. He loved us so much that he sent his Son for us. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. For when we were yet without strength, Romans 5 says, when we were yet without strength, we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing to free ourselves. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you will acknowledge your sin, and we all know this that have put our trust in Jesus, if you will acknowledge your sin, acknowledge that we cannot earn our salvation ourselves, acknowledge that our good works are nothing before a holy God, and we will trust fully on the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, in dying on the cross for our sins, took the penalty of our sins fully for us, we can be set free. We can be saved. This is the only thing that will set us free from the bondage of sin. This is the only thing that will set us free from the punishment that we face if you don't know him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Thanks be to God. I thank the Lord God in my life that he set me free from the bondage that I lived in for 21 years of my life. God is so good. He didn't just set us free to do nothing, though. He's got me up here preaching now. And it's the only freedom. It's the only true freedom. And what's amazing is he bought us. We're gonna see. Are we free? Are we free as in we're the only people that can decide what we do? Are we free as in we're the masters of our own life? Absolutely not. But this freedom in Christ sets us free from both the penalty and condemnation of the law and the power of sin over our lives. Romans 8, 1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." This woman came face to face with Jesus and her sin, and he told her two things. The same things that he tells us when he sets us free if we put our trust in him. He told her, go and sin no more. So the next question I'm going to address, and before I do, if anybody's here that has not tasted of the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus, that comes with the freedom of stopping trying to justify yourself. Stop trying to be good enough in your own strength, doing it your own way. If you haven't tasted of this freedom that comes with the grace of God, please surrender your life to Jesus. The next question we're going to address is, when you do that, Jesus sets us free to do what? What would he have us do? The first thing, like he told the woman, go. We are free to go and continue in his word. If you want to just look a couple verses down, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We were blind in our sin. We were dead in our sin. But when Jesus sets us free, he makes us alive. He allows us to see. A little bit later in the chapter, he's dialoguing with these same Pharisees. And it says in the scriptures that some believed on him in verse 31. And he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This continuing in his word, this is not what earns us our salvation. Our salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, so no one can boast." It's the gift of God. But he calls us to now go. Before we had ears, but we couldn't hear. We had eyes, but we couldn't see. But Jesus, when he gives us this life and he sets us free to go and now to do what he's called us to do, to abide in him and in his word. This is how we know him, when we stay in his word. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We now are free to walk and to live as he has called us to live. Luke 4 says this, when Jesus was speaking in the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In our blindness, we couldn't understand God. We didn't know how to please God. We were caught in our foolishness. But when we get set free, now we can see him. We can hear him. We can obey him. It's a beautiful thing. So for us who have been set free, God's grace covers us. We never have to think that we're not acceptable to God based on our own works, because we're not accepted by God based on our own works. We're accepted based on his work. By Jesus dying on the cross and giving us salvation and setting us free, we are accepted in the Beloved. Now, it's just a process of sanctification. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you guys want to turn with me, if you could turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 7. Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Stop right there. When we were saved, we before were servants of sin, slaves of sin. Now we're servants of God. We are his. He purchased us. He bought us with a price, the most high price, with the blood of the blessed Son of God. We are his. And yet from there, he brings us close. He calls us friends. He has given us the whole counsel of his word. We know the end of the story. Whatever trials we go through, we know the end of the story. We know that he is coming. We know that it's by his grace that we're going to make it through, not by us. He calls us to abide in him and to love as he has loved. He loved us with such a great love that he gave his only son for us. Jesus gave his own life for us. Us in our freedom now, we are free. There's nothing that we have to do to be accepted by God. If we're saved by grace, there's nothing that we can do to lose this either, because it was a gift. He loved us and he died for us and he gave it to us. But yet, how much, you know, I talk to some people about it sometimes. It's like, how could you not be indebted to God? How could you not feel indebted to God? He's taken away the punishment of your sin. He's taken away the bondage that we knew, that we experienced when we could not escape our sin. We took pleasure in it. Death. It's amazing, this love. And he calls us to continue. Continue ye in my love. Verse 9. This is our calling as Christians. Continue in his love. Continue in his love for God the Father in obedience. Continue in his love for us, laying down his life for us. When we get in the word of God, when we abide in him, when we're meditating on the word, when we're praying, when we're seeking him, this is how we're going to continue in his love. This is how we're going to keep going. And we're going to be stronger day by day. Galatians 5:13 says this, says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. His love abides in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us of his Spirit. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. As free children of God, let's let that love pour out of us. Let's continue in that. So let's go. And how is a major way we can go and do that? We are free to go make disciples. Let's carry that love, not just, especially in here, we need to carry that love out amongst each other. We're free to love each other, to care for each other. But let's carry it into our own lives. Let's carry it back into our households. Again, we all got problems. We all have issues. It's not as if when you come to Jesus Christ that all your issues go away. But now God's love gets to pour out into those issues. God's love gets to pour out into those people that are still lost in this outside world, in our family. And you'll see the impact that you make. Just want to read it. We are to go make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Great Commission isn't a go do this or else you're not going to get in. The Great Commission's a blessing. This freedom is amazing. This freedom that we've tasted, that God has accepted us on the basis of his son's sacrifice for us on the cross, that we're going to be in heaven one day, that he's with us now. It's truly good news. And there's no better freedom. And that's something that we definitely should carry. I'm going to finish up here. We are free to sin no more. It's a battle. I don't want anybody to think it's not a battle, because it is. But we are free from the grip of sin. We are free from sin's bondage. Romans 6:14 says this. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Jesus took the punishment of that law on the cross. He 1 Peter 2 says this. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We are not lost anymore. We are in Christ Jesus. We know where our power comes from. Our power comes from God. Our power in this battle against sin. Our power in this battle against the things in this world that are trying to take us down. 1 John 1:9, I got to say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We still have this flesh. We still have this flesh that desires the old things. But God has given us power. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And when we confess our sins, when we pray, when we get in the word, when we fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and when we continue in his love, we will have victory over sin. And if you're struggling right now, just take stand in that promise. Stand in the promise of God that he has set you free. John 8:34-36 says this, and this was in that same chapter, and I think we said it before. He said, "I say unto whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." My brother Pradeep and even, it's funny, Mike mentioned the same verse to me that they were going over this morning in the Bible study about he is the door, and we may go in and come out and find pasture. And he's with, we are free. We can go and live our life in this world being led by him. He's our good shepherd. He's with us. He will guide us in our struggles. And it's the only way. Abiding in him is the only way that we're going to find that victory, that we're gonna stand on that promise that he has set us free from our sin. That we'll be reminded when the flesh tries to condemn us once again and say that we're not doing enough, we're not good enough, we're not accepted by God. It's the only way when we abide in him and when we live in Christ. I'm just going to close up. And like I said, how can we do this? By abiding in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, "But I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We are no more in chains to our sin. We have been set free. Let us abide in the Spirit of God. Let us yield to the Spirit, because we're no longer servants of that sin. If we as children of God, after we have received Jesus Christ, if we are children of God, let us not give our members over to sin, to work sin. Let us offer ourselves up to God as that pleasing, acceptable sacrifice to him, continuing in his love, pouring out his love to others that we've been called to do. And this is our blessing. This is our pleasure. I can tell you it's the most enjoyable thing that I've ever done in my life is living for God. And I fall short all the time. And I know I thank God for this church, because I feel like that's what this church is made up of. A bunch of people who love God and want to live that life. And yet we all fall short of the glory of God. And we need to keep that in remembrance. So, I'm just going to close off with this. Romans chapter 8. Just going to let this soak over us, and then I'll close out in some prayer. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." I pray if there's anybody here that does not know this liberty, that does not know this glorious liberty of being a child of God, that you would surrender your life to him. I pray that he would grip your heart and he would let you know how much he loves you despite your sin, and that you would surrender. For those of us who have surrendered, I pray you would know his love. I pray you would abide in his grace and know that it's enough. And also, that we remember this woman caught in adultery, that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all are the law is our equalizer. It's only by his grace. There's no first-class Christians. So, but yet his grace and his freedom and his truth are all that we need. His word is all that we need. His love is all that we need. The Spirit that's within us is all that we need to continue in his love, to continue in his word, to go and to sin no more. He has given us the power through his Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God that he gave his son to die for us on that cross. So this is what I pray for us, and just going to close up there. Lord God, Thank you so much for this message, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for us, Lord, that you loved us so much in such a way that you sent your only begotten Son for us, Lord, to die on the cross, to take the penalty and the punishment of sin, Lord. Lord, I pray that all the people here today would know this love and would abide in this love and would continue in this love, Lord, and continue in the freedom, Lord. The law has no power over us anymore, Lord God. But you have set us free, Lord. And you say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, Lord. Just thank you for this, Lord. Lord God, if there's anybody here, Lord, that does not know this liberty, please, Lord, I pray that you would just work on their heart, Lord. You would just draw them to lay their own will and their own way down, Lord, that they would see that they're not free right now, Lord, that they are in bondage to their sin, and sin is a cruel master, Lord, but that you are the only good shepherd, Lord, that can set us free, and you are good, and you'll be with us forevermore, Lord. If there's anybody here that feels that pulling, please lift your hand, and somebody will come talk to you, Lord. Please, just draw anyone. For all the rest of us, Lord, what glorious liberty. What glorious liberty it is to know you. Lord, help us just to continue to walk in that liberty. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, Lord. Give us victory over our battles. We know you're fighting our battles for us, Lord. Help us to fight for our brothers and sisters as well. And we thank you for this, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love and your faithfulness, Lord. And just please continue to strengthen us to continue to go forward, Lord, and do your will. And we pray all this in the blessed name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.